You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball.
One ball!
The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, goal.
Scoring the goals.
He shoots, he scores,
scoring the goals.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill League podcast. Alex Dunn and Pete Ferries are with you. I'm Alex Dunn, this is Pete Ferries.
Hello.
You alright?
Yeah, fine, thank you. Spent my morning watching The Day Today. It's been a long time since I last watched that, so been enjoying that. And I might drop in a couple of Chris Morris-style zingers along the way.
Nice. Good to know that you're busy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, to be fair, I've got this and I am working this afternoon, but I say working, I'm doing some stuff this afternoon. Oh, I'm hoovering.
And also work for you, and I was watching football, so...
And golf and tennis, and yeah, generally speaking, you know, I've got to keep up with what's going on.
What a job. What a job.
Hey, I mean, it is ludicrous, let's be fair. I'm a ludicrously lucky human being.
Mm. And you get to talk to me for the next 15 minutes.
Which counters it, so...
Oh, you...
And your words.
Let's start by making reference to the Naps table, because Pete, for weeks now you've been saying, can we talk about the Naps? Can we talk about the Naps? And I've been going, yes, we will. And I keep forgetting. And Lewis takes the time out of his
schedule
to result the Naps in wonderful spreadsheet format. I think the main reason why you're wanting to talk about them quite a bit at the minute, Pete, is because without blowing smoke up your ass, you're actually in ruddy good form.
I think myself and Al have been in really good form for a while now.
Five winners in a row for Al, and you've had 7 winners in a row if you discount the abandoned Reading game.
Yes, of course, yeah, which I don't think you can blame me for.
I'll do my best to, but go on.
I think it'd be harsh to blame me for that. But yeah, it's been a really good run, but that's been because, for example, you know, sometimes you do get these runs, don't you, where the traders price something like Reading, and they have been exceptionally nicely for ages and ages and ages. And I know we're not going to talk Reading today because they play this evening, but Reading have helped me out massively and won at some big prices. Fleetwood got the draw that the win or draw that we thought they might get last weekend, but you know, you've got to give credit to Al as well, who's absolutely torn it up in League Two. And Gav also exists.
He does, and he contributed last week because the first time so far this season, we landed a treble on the league podcast. Fleetwood plus a goal at 5-4, Scunthorpe on the outrights at 2s-on, and Morecambe at 6-4. A tenner would have paid £74.38 on that treble. Now, granted, if you were following the league podcast treble through the course of the season, you may have given up by now, but. You know, we may have turned a corner.
If you're following us individually, then you'd be in very solid profit, wouldn't you?
That is true. Al Ross currently leads the table with a overall profit of £81.59 to a £10 stake. Pete Farries with £55.34 in second. And Gav Puchalski is showing a loss, I'm afraid, of £68.91. He had a very good start to the season, Gav. Hopefully that Scunthorpe win last week can give him a kick start. But it looks like it could go down to the wire between yourself and Al.
Well, hopefully, yeah, because I couldn't stand to hear him gloat or be happy, in fact.
Lovely. as you mentioned, Reading play on Thursday evening. We're recording this on Thursday afternoon, so we're not going to talk about the Reading game because by the time this podcast is out, you'll have already seen what's happened likelihood.
I'm going to go on a limb here and say that I think Reading win that game.
Stop talking about Reading.
But that's it.
Stop it. Sorry. Stop it. This is a Reading-free podcast.
Sorry.
I'm so glad that they're playing on Thursday because it means I don't need to hear you say that Reading are a good bet.
Oh, sorry about that. For the 9-5s and the 19-10s.
I was going to say, it is quite hard to have a go at you when you are consistently putting up normally odds against shots that are winning. But, you know, Reading, they're not there this week. Leave them alone.
They've not, yeah.
So we've got two televised games and we'll start with Friday night's game. Leeds against Derby, Friday at 7:45. What a fascinating clash this is between two sides who at the start of the season had, let's call them, aspirations. And at certain stages through the course of the season, those aspirations have looked unlikely at sometimes. both sides now are flying. Leeds in fifth, Derby in seventh. Derby's loss at Norwich, I say they're flying. Derby have been flying, but their loss at Norwich was a bit of a come-down-to-earth moment, if you like, last time out. Leeds continue to play well. They were disappointing in the first half against Cambridge in the Cup in midweek, but they battled back to win. That was an understrength side, but still the momentum is going. Gary Monk is performing wonders at Elland Road. And they're 13-8 to win this. The draw is 21-10. And Derby are 2-1. Great game coming up this one on Friday evening.
Oh, fantastic. What a game. Little unfair on Leeds, to be honest. This happens on Friday night. You know, I just thought it was a bit harsh. You know, Derby came
Tuesday
behind.
Evening, wasn't it, against Cambridge?
Sorry?
Was it Tuesday evening or Monday?
Monday.
Monday.
It was Monday. So they've had Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday off, and they play on the Friday. Derby have had the Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday off, and they play on the Friday. In terms, I say off, but they'll have been training and stuff. But Jeremy, in terms of playing a game. Now, on the other side of that, Gary Monk did make a lot of changes.
Mm-hmm.
But there were still a couple of first-teamers in there. Janssen started, Berardi started. You know, there were some first-teamers in that Leeds side as well.
Eight changes, and I think Janssen's now suspended, isn't he?
Yeah, I think that's why. Yeah, I think so, yeah. But the point is, it's still a bit harsh. You know, as a club, you want to try and, you know, not be mentally fatigued as well as have your players physically fatigued. But I couldn't separate these two sides, Alex, and I've sort of flip-flopped from one side to the other, really. I kind of go, well, Leeds have got, I think, the fourth best form in the league right now. They have been incredible at home recently. I think it's 8 of the last 10. Won the draw, I could see, absolutely. Derby, big price considering they've been very good. And, yeah, their form has dried up a little bit recently in the Championship, but they came from behind against what has been an exceptionally performing West Brom this season. So I kind of went from side to side on this a bit. And then I thought about Leeds on the telly, and it all built and built and built. Leeds don't concede goals, haven't conceded in four of the last five home games. And in the end, I kind of went with a draw here. And simply because I think all of the FA Cup action will build up mentally more than physically. Derby have been good. They've invested in good players. David Nugent, for example, they've brought in this week. He loves it against Leeds. He's scored six goals against Leeds in his career. And he's won a great deal more than he's lost to David Nugent as well. So 13-5 any time should he start. I couldn't see how both teams wouldn't score despite Leeds, you know, keeping clean sheets recently. So if you want to play your both teams to score, then I certainly wouldn't physically fight you in the street. That's odds against 21-20. Two good sides with good goal scorers in there.
Thanks for not fighting the listeners, by the way.
No problem. Odds against the 21-20 is decent. So there are bets. The both teams to score, the over 2.5, the draw, I think, is the way I would go for an outright. Chris Wood's been in great form. He was rested. He's 29-20. Hernandez has obviously just extended his deal, 19-5 for Hernandez. Moa got back to goal scoring ways. Dallas got back to goal scoring ways. They're both 4-1. I worry about Liam Cooper's injury. No Janssen. So all of this, it's just such a difficult game, this one. But a score draw, definitely the way I plumped in the end. And I've backed this. I've had a fiver of my own money on the 16-5 match result and both teams to score in a draw.
Okay.
It's tough, isn't it? That is a tough game, that one, I think.
They're just basically two sides that, as a rule, in the last few weeks and months, if you got Leeds at 13-8 or Derby at 2-1, you would play them.
Yes.
So it is a bit difficult to know where your allegiances lie. I'd be tempted probably just to play Derby as they're a bigger price, but they're only just a bigger price. So it is very, very tricky.
Yeah, maybe the draw no bet, for example, giving you money back on the draw with Derby if you want to go a much more pricey way of this. It's 21-20, that,
I
by
think
the way.
Both sides would probably take a draw as well, wouldn't they?
Yes, I think they probably would, yeah.
Wolves Villa, then, is the other game we're going to focus on. This one's Saturday at 5:30. Wolves are priced up at 6-4, the draw 11-5, and Villa are 15-8. Wolves have been a very, very difficult side to get a handle on so far this season. Regardless of who's in charge of them, they've had games where they've been fantastic and games where they've been absolutely dire, and it's so hard to know which Wolves are going to turn up. They come off the back of that win at Stoke in the Cup. They were very good on that occasion, although Stoke are also pretty poor. Villa's away form is still rank. They didn't win at all in the Premier League last season away from home. They've come down to the Championship and only managed wins at Reading and QPR. That's probably why they're the outsiders here, Pete.
Yes. This is the eternal problem with Aston Villa this season, isn't it? They're a side who you would imagine should win many of these games, but away from home do not have the requisite form. Now, that's a big, big problem, because if you want to go up, as Sheffield Wednesday saw last season, Wednesday were incredible at home last season, but just couldn't win away, and they didn't then therefore have enough to get themselves over the line. Villa, you know, they won at QPR, didn't they, in December, which was a vital win for Villa. But you can't be with them away from home. But to the same measure, the same extent, how on earth can I be with Wolves in this? They're such a strange side. I know they've had big changes. Paul Lambert coming in was the right managerial choice in terms of solidifying it. A little bit like what they did with Kenny Jackett under slightly less chaotic circumstances, where they just get the right man, a solid, steady hand, comes in, sorts it out, don't worry, let's go home. But then conceded 4 against Fulham, 2 against Bristol City, even though they beat them, 2 against QPR, 2 against Sheffield Wednesday, 3 against Derby at home as well. The amount of goals they concede at Molineux. But then, will they be that worried? Because Villa don't score. They've only scored twice in one game away from home so far this season. And that was away at Reading, weirdly. So, again, that was an absolutely rock-hard one to call. I've gone with a Villa draw no bet here, though. I think Villa, this is the time where Villa will start to turn it around a little bit away from home. I need the draw on my side. I'm not going all guns blazing into an outright here. Not a chance with Villa's away form. But the draw no bet is odds against. It's 21-20. I just, you know, with a draw at Brighton and the win at QPR, maybe those shoots away from home are starting to build, starting to grow and starting to look a great deal better. They are losing some important players, of course, through injury and stuff. And, of course, a certain competition means that one man's gone. But McCormack's 21-10, Agbon Lahore's 23-10, Davis 13-5, Grealish 14-5. Albert Adoma, we say it all the time and it's boring, but he loves it on telly. 16-5 any time for Albert Adoma is very, very decent. But in a game with one side weird away from home and one side just struggling generally, I'd rather be with the ones who are weird rather than struggling, but I think you need some insurance on your side, and therefore the 21-20 draw no bet Aston Villa was the way that I plumped.
Okay. Tricky one to call, that one.
Sorry?
Very, very tricky one to call.
What do you think about that one?
Well, I don't like Wolves at 6-4. I don't like Villa away from home, so my go-to bet would normally be Codger anytime, but I can't do that.
No, you can't.
So, I'd probably take a flyer on maybe a defender to score or something like that. Just, it's one of those games where it could be anything. So I'd probably be looking at some centre backs to maybe not.
It's hard though, isn't it? It's a hard week this week, and I thought that about the Championship generally this week. I mean, to be honest, in a week where it looks difficult, that means that there's tons of value, doesn't there?
Mm.
But it's just about pinning it down. But this week is one of the trickier ones I think there's been for quite a while. But I'll tell you what, if you can get it right, you will make more this week than you have done in 10 weeks, if that makes sense.
Mm. No, that is true. It's high risk, high reward, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but I mean, at the moment, this week you've got good teams playing each other. So Huddersfield, Sheffield Wednesday, for example, you've got plenty of good teams playing each other, you've got plenty of bad teams playing each other, and you've got all the indifferent teams playing each other. So there's not a clear form break, I think, across most of the Championship this weekend.
Mm.
But that's great, because that means the prices are bigger, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Here's one for you then, if you're looking for a bet in that game that I've literally just looked at now. When these two met on the 15th of October, it finished 1-1 at Villa Park. 2 penalties, one for either side. Could be a play, couldn't it?
Yeah, penalty awarded. And I mean, to be honest, are you one of the people who, if you think it's going to be a penalty, just plays penalty awarded, or do you play awarded and scored?
No, I just go awarded. Don't.
You really?
Don't be a greedy person.
Oh, I don't. The percentage of penalties that are missed is so small.
Doesn't matter.
Oh, it does.
It does not matter.
Oh, dear, you're one of them.
I am one of them. I'm a sensible human,
oh,
yes.
Oh, dear.
One of those sensible humans that people know.
Oh, dear.
Penalty specials. Well, penalty awarded, yes, is 3-1. Penalty to be awarded and scored is 18-5. So let's just say we're having a fiver on. You're getting an extra £3 for your troubles.
True. It is the value there to make it worth it.
Fiver wins 20. Fiver wins 23. I think don't risk it.
I know.
For £3.
I know. You are right, but you're also wrong.
Yes, and I accept that
you're logically right in terms of the money and everything else and the stats and all that, but if one's going to be awarded, the chances are it's going to be bagged in professional football.
True, You make a good point too, Pete. This is a bit of a love-in on the league podcast now. I respect your opinion, but... I'd probably just have a stab at that then, maybe.
I think it's a good bet.
3-1's big enough just to have an interest, isn't it, in a trappy little encounter.
Well, that's what I mean. I think trap. And, of course, these are two sides who are relatively close to each other in the world as well.
Yes,
which
yes.
is another thing you've got to bear in mind. I mean, I had a little look earlier on at the cards. And
yeah, I was looking at potential red card. I mean, it's hard because there's not much recent form to go off. But the penultimate time that these two met each other in the league was in the Premier League, and Carl Henry got sent off. But that's going back 5-6 years now, so he can't really do much about that.
No.
Right. I'll hand back to you then, Pete. You can talk about your three Saturday 3 p.m. games in the Championship. Put forward your nap as well. Make sure you listen to Pete's nap. And, indeed, Gav Puszczalowski and Al Ross's selections in League 1 and 2. They will follow Pete off the back of this. We'll be back next week for more Championship action. Pete, I will now leave it in your capable northeastern hands.
Now, I think this week's quite a difficult week, truth be told. There's a lot of teams who are in poor form playing teams in poor form, a lot of teams in average form playing teams in average form, and a lot of teams in good form playing teams in good form. That, of course, does mean, though, that there's some phenomenal value if you can ferret it out. Let's start then with Bristol City against Cardiff, shall we? Bristol City 5-4, the draw 11-5, 23-10, should you want to back Cardiff. But why would you want to back Bristol City? They have been absolutely atrocious in the Championship for a long old time now. They've lost 9 of their last 10 games, just a 2-0 victory over Ipswich Town, the little tiny sliver of light within their recent form. Lee Johnson's under increasing and increasing pressure, and yes, they've got a phenomenal goal scorer, but Cardiff are the exact kind of side, I think, who can deal with Bristol City. Their recent form is actually decent. 2 draws, 2 wins, and a very narrow loss, of course, against Barnsley. Last-minute loss, of course, against Barnsley 4-3. Their away form, not phenomenal, let's be fair, but they've won at Forest, drawn at Ipswich and at Griffin Park. And the two places they've lost in the last 5 games, Newcastle, fair enough, and Villa, fair enough. The first of the bets that I think is really worth looking at here is that both teams to score market. It's a very simply put game that really you can't see how this doesn't land. At 10-11, the price there. Now that's landed, for example, in the last 5 Cardiff City away games. It's landed in 4 of the last 5 Bristol City. And 10-11 is a very fair price with those kind of form lines. But Cardiff are too big. 23-10 is too big. Draw no bet Cardiff 11-8 is too big. Cardiff plus a goal at 8-13 is too big. Bristol City's form is absolutely abominable at the moment. You can't in any way, shape or form, I don't think anyway, be with them with any real kind of verve and certainly without any real kind of confidence. Overs could well be a play too as well. That's been landing with fair regularity, and if you fancy the both teams to score, you're not asking for that much for just one more goal. That's 11-10 for over 2.5 match goals. Again, something that's landed in 4 of the last 5 Bristol City matches and in 4 of the last 5 Cardiff away games. In terms of a goal scorer, there's always, of course, not a huge amount to choose from. And if you do fancy both teams to score in this game, then you can still back a Bristol City goal scorer, even with the confidence that you think the Cardiff are going to win it. So 6-5 any time for Tammy Abraham is not a particularly controversial, is not a particularly clever shout, but it's one that may well land you some money, even if in the end Cardiff don't win, which, by the way, I still can't see happening. 4-4 for Tammy Abraham, of course. 14 in the league this season. 6-5 any time is a very good price indeed. But there is no way in a million years a side who've lost 9 of their last 10 league games deserve to be favourites to this kind of extent against the Cardiff side who, yes, are struggling, but are very decent. My favourite bet in this game, undoubtedly the draw no bet on Cardiff City at 11-8. You know, if one was giving out awards for least time talked about this season, Ipswich Town would win it on this league podcast by a country mile. They are the most inconsistent side I have ever seen in England's second flight, and I can't see how it's going to get any better. Mick McCarthy's doing the best with what is a very difficult hand dealt to him. They're under financial constraints. They bring players through, lose players, bring players through, lose players, so on and so forth. But on the inconsistency thing, it is absolutely unbelievable. Unbelievable. Why? Well, it's very simple. They've only had the same result back-to-back, as in loss-loss, draw-draw, win-win, once this season, back-to-back draws, and that, folks, was back in August. Their form is absolutely all over the place. Now, as punters, we all want to have some consistency, don't we? But if the inconsistency itself is consistent, then that can be used nicely too. They lost last time out, so their season, their form would tell you it's unlikely they will lose again. They are 13-10 to beat Blackburn. The draw 11-5, Blackburn Rovers 12-5. There have been some shoots from Blackburn at times, of course. Their constant thorn in the sidery against Newcastle, but they have taken just 8 points on the road this season, which is not exactly phenomenal, and certainly not enough, I don't think, to get past Ipswich. It's not the easiest of games, truth be told, to bet in, but I'm still very happy with Ipswich here. Betting on their inconsistency being consistent is a good way to go. Another little play for you as well, by the way, Brett Pittman to score. He's been in good form recently. He's 15-8 anytime. He has got 3 in his last 5 games and seems to be at least a little bit confident. But this game is not the easiest really to take apart. I don't think much of the Championship is this weekend, but Blackburn are looking decent, but on the road not good enough, and Ipswich are all over the place, but that dial should be turned away from loss and toward win or draw, and on this occasion I'm going to go for an Ipswich win. Those of you who listen regularly will know that I really rate Simon Grayson and exactly what he's done at Preston. They didn't look like getting relegated last season, and they haven't looked like getting relegated this season either. He's done very, very well on a tight budget, with occasionally people fighting each other on the pitch. But this time, I think he's going to come a cropper, at least in this game anyway. 13-5 Preston, the draw 12-5 Brighton, 21-20. Brighton haven't lost since September. They've won 5 back-to-back league games and have been scoring plenty in the process. There is no doubt in my mind, in any way, shape or form, that Brighton are odds against in this game are absolutely excellent, excellent value. So 21-20. What else can you get involved in? Well, Brighton do tend to score more than a goal in the process. The overs, by the way, does seem fairly likely as well at 21-20 when you look at the recent form lines. 5 in their game against Blackburn, 3 against Birmingham, 3 against QPR, 3 against Fulham. Admittedly, just the 2 against the MK Dons, but on Preston's end, at home anyway, 3, 5, 5, 2, 2. Both teams to score as well, by the way. Well worth a look in that bracket because of the amount of goals, because of the teams that are scoring. You have to consider both teams to score as part of your accas this weekend as well. 10-11, both teams to score. In terms of goal scorers, well, Glenn Murray's been in fine fettle, hasn't he? 6 goals in 10 games. He's 23-20. But for me, Brighton's form is just unstoppable. And if Preston do it, fair enough. But for odds against with Brighton, I'm willing to take that punt. Now, in terms of a nap this week, I've had a very, very decent run. Fleetwood plus a goal in the FA Cup last weekend helped us out with a 5-4 as well. So I kind of ummed and ahed. I know we haven't spoken about Reading because that's a Thursday game. I do think that they're going to beat QPR. I've just said that in hindsight, of course, but I do think they will beat QPR. But I'm not going to nap that one. It's too early. It's too soon after the podcast is released for you all to get involved in it. So instead, I will look at Brighton at 21-20 as my nap of the week. Very best of luck.
Lots of League One action this weekend to look at. 3 o'clock kickoffs, and here are my three favourite shouts for this weekend, starting with an old favourite, which is Millwall away from home. Millwall plus away games equals goals. Every single game bar one for Millwall has been over 2.5 goals this season, and I see no change as they travel, make the relatively short trip, the derby, to Charlton. Charlton are 13-8. They've started to score goals under Carl Robinson. Last time at home, they won 4-1 against Bristol Rovers. Five-goal thriller there. Millwall last time away from home, another London derby away at Wimbledon. Four-goal thriller, finished 2-2. Should have been much more in the goals. Charlton have got a poor record against Millwall. No wins in 6 or 7 against Millwall. And the last two games between these two sides have been over 2.5 goals. So definite start for me is my Naps selection, which is over 2.5 goals between Charlton and Millwall at 10-11. My next bet is Bolton at home to Swindon. I think Bolton at 4-9 is fair at home to Swindon. Swindon's away form is poor. They tend not to score in consecutive games away from home, and they did score last time away from home. So I don't see Swindon scoring in this one. Bolton and unders could be looking at 2-0 for Bolton. Bolton minus a goal is a play. Bolton of 4-9 as they try to overtake Scunthorpe and reclaim second spot. And they're 6 points behind Sheffield United, who are the league leaders, and they've got a game in hand. So it's imperative that Bolton get all 3 points at home to Swindon, and I think they'll do so. But the bet for me, it's something that's landed 7-7 at home for Bolton. Their last 7 victories at home, it's landed in all of them. And it's Bolton, double result live. Win the first half, be leading at half-time, win the game thereafter. And that's 13-10 for me. That's good. It's landed 7-7 at home for Bolton, and that's my play in this game. My third and final bet is between Fleetwood and Bristol Rovers. Two sides fighting for that final playoff place at the moment. Fleetwood currently occupy it. And just outside Bristol Rovers, they are a point adrift of Fleetwood. Fleetwood have got a goal difference of +8. And Bristol Rovers got a goal difference of +1. And the reason for that is Bristol Rovers concede too many goals away from home. Their last 4 games away from home, they've lost them all. Millwall, they lost 4-0. They conceded 3 at Chesterfield, 2 at Shrewsbury, and 4 at Charlton. So plenty of goals conceded by Bristol Rovers, and they travel to a Fleetwood side who at home have taken 13 points from 15 and score quite a number of goals. Although the last couple of games have been unders for Fleetwood, something else to look at between these two sides is the highest scoring half been that of the second half. That tends to land quite a lot at Fleetwood. And there is an argument for draw Fleetwood on the double result as well. But I think Fleetwood are going to beat Bristol Rovers. If you throw in a cup game for Bristol Rovers away from home, 5 consecutive defeats on their travels. So my play is Fleetwood at 6-4 to beat Bristol Rovers. My treble for this weekend is over 2.5 goals. My Nap selection between Charlton and Millwall at 10-11. Bolton, double result live is a play for me with Bolton at home to Swindon. That's 13-10. And Fleetwood to beat Bristol Rovers at 6-4. Add it all up together, it's just shy of 10-1.
I'm going to start this week by saying congratulations to Wickham, who've drawn Spurs in the fourth round of the Cup. A huge payday coming and possibly a distraction, which is why for the first time in a long time, I am swerving them on this week's Acca. More on Cup distractions a little later. Instead, I'm turning first this week to the other League Two side that's been making headlines with the news that Notts County looks like it has been saved and bought by a local businessman. But all I'm going to do here is repeat what I said last week when John Sheridan was sacked and replaced with Alan Smith. A quick fix morale boost is not going to fix this team. It isn't good enough, full stop. People questioned that when I said it last week, and they promptly lost 4-1 at Morecambe, despite Morecambe playing for 45 minutes with 10 men. It is now 10 league defeats in a row. They're at home this weekend, but it's hardly home advantage, is it? One win on their own turf all season. 15 of their 22 points have come on the road. And they're hosting a Mansfield side in a purple patch. 3 straight wins, which were preceded by a draw at Leaders Doncaster. To find Mansfield 7-5 to beat County at the moment, it's almost insulting. And that, I will tell you now, would normally be a clear and obvious nap. But we have a strong rival this week. It is rare to find a side like Notts County that can lose 10 league games in a row, but I am backing Newport to make it 9. The last 8 Newport County League games, defeat, 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 defeat. The last 8 Colchester League games, win, win, draw, win, 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 win. In terms of form lines, it is almost impossible to get a bigger contrast. Wins in that Colchester run include last week's Acca Scupperer against Carlisle. After a poor previous 2 months, I'm really glad they kept the faith with Tony McGreal there. It's not over-egging it to say a relegation fight's become a promotion fight. 22 points after 17 games is now 39 points after 25. Notts County only have 17 points in total. And Newport and Notts County have the worst 2 defences in the league, but I'm not backing Mansfield to thrash Notts County, given Mansfield only average a goal a game in the right end. But Colchester, well, that's different. Newport have shipped 15 in their last 5 League 2 games. Colchester have scored 13 in that time against much better defences. Add to that, Newport have found themselves scoring themselves in each of the last 5 games, and Colchester only have 2 clean sheets in that time. You can see that while the 5-4 is clearly going to go into the accumulator, the Colchester and both teams to score at 16-5, or the more conservative Colchester and over 2.5 goals at 11-5, look brilliant value. Curtis Guthrie, off the back of last week's hat-trick, is 29-20 as an anytime goal scorer. 7 goals in 9. It's a price that makes sense. There are also short prices that should land this week. Portsmouth to beat Orient, Carlisle to beat Morecambe. However, I'm pushing the boat out for the treble. An outsider to end with. It's Stevenage at Plymouth. And Plymouth are going to have half an eye on Tuesday's FA Cup replay against Liverpool. Why do I think that? Because they slipped up at Barnet in the match before the original tie. Add to that, that Stevenage have the winning habit on the road. Only Doncaster have prevented them collecting all 3 points in their last 8 away matches straight. To see them at 5-2, it's just too tempting. I have to take it. But they are the outsiders, of course. Mansfield just pip Colchester to the title of NAP purely because they're a slightly bigger price. It is a treble, Mansfield, Colchester and Stevenage of 17.9-1.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.